Thank you, Pastor. Can I take this off? Thank you. All right. Well, hello, everyone. I am shy and unskilled speaker, like Paul, in my second language. This is how I feel sometimes, as in Psalm. I'm a worm, I'm not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me, they mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Is this the one who says his Lord loves him so much? Let his Lord deliver him." The thoughts of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I'll never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Praise God. I grew up in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. It's the heart of Islam, the birthplace of Islam. My dad is an Islamic mufti. He's an equivalent of an archbishop in Mecca. 2.1 billion Muslims around the world today, they bow down 5 times a day toward Mecca, Saudi Arabia. How could the Lord save someone like me? I grew up in a Muslim family, of course, because of my dad. And in Saudi Arabia, there's 2 kinds of schooling system. There's the public school and the Islamic-oriented school. In the Islamic-oriented school, they don't teach us English because English is the language of infidels and infidelity. So when I reached to the end of high school, I wanted to join College of Medicine. Problem in Saudi Arabia, medicine is taught in English. So when I went to the first class, and everybody there speaking in English, except me. I couldn't even say hi or what my name is in English. So I ran back to the house, and with the help of my friend, his name is Google Translator, I passed the first year. And by the end of the first year, I decided to go to New Zealand to study English. And after 2.5 months there, I had a dream of my balcony. I was sleeping, and the balcony opened up, and a light shined into the room, and a voice, a majestical voice that is scary, saying, "Come to me." So I screamed, "To where?" And on the other side of the room, there was a picture of a house of white pillars, and the voice again said, "Go to the house of the white pillars, and in there you shall find the truth." I woke up so scared. My heart was racing. First thing that I did, I jumped to the balcony and made sure that it was not open. The second thing is, I called the agency, travel agency, "Please pick a flight back to Saudi Arabia." Because as a devout Muslim, I understand that if I live more than 3 days in a territory that's not Islamic, I'm subjected to satanic attacks. So I thought that was Satan attacking me. Anyhow, cut the story short. I went to the school the day after. I told the whole class what happened to me in my dream. And the teacher, she told me, "You have seen Jesus." And I'm like, "Satan?" She never taught me in the vocabulary that Jesus means, you know, Isa in Arabic. So she said, "No, holy, Jesus." I'm like, "Oh, synonym, Satan." She looked at me really angry and she said, "Come to my desk after the class." I'm like, "Oh, okay. They will kick me now out of school." To be honest, she tried to tell me who Jesus was, but my English couldn't help. After a few days, while I'm troubled with this dream, walking in the city, all of a sudden I looked in a place that I've never been before. I looked and I saw the house of white pillars. And it's written, Baptist, tabernacle. I didn't know what Baptist means, neither tabernacle. So I thought that was museum because there's no cross, no church. So I entered inside and I'm like, what kind of truth will I find in a museum? So, and to be honest, when I opened the door, everything was old. It's an old building. So I met a man who asked me about my dream. Apparently the teacher told him, and he was waiting for me. He's the pastor of the church. So I told him, and he told me, this is Isa coming to you. Isa is an equivalent of Jesus in Arabic. And then I started to question him, grilled him with questions. And he was patiently answering me from the Quran. After 3 days, he asked me, if I speak, my words represent who I am. And if you speak, your words represent who you are. And if God speak, then his words represent who he is. His word must be complete, perfect, holy. I'm like, sure. Then he asked me, who is the word of God in the Quran? I told him, Isa. He said, can you show me? I'm like, sure. I memorized the whole Quran. So I opened to chapter 3, verse 45, and it goes by, and the angels came to Mary, telling her God has given her good news from him, a word from him. His name shall be Jesus, son of Mary. Then he said, can I show you something from the New Testament? I'm like, no, please, no. This book will make you crazy. Which he's right. I said, well, this is really relevant to our discussion. So he opened to John 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That blown my mind away. I kept reading and asking him more questions. And then I reached to where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Brian, my friend, he looked at me and he said, well, Jesus came to you. And he said, come to me. And now you know who he is. And you know there is no other way to go to heaven but through him. Would you like to repent from your sins and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? At that moment, when I saw the truth set me free. So I accept Jesus, but I already picked my flight. So I went to the airport with him. He prayed for me and gave me a New Testament in Arabic. And I went back to Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, there are no churches. No, zero. Bibles are not allowed in any kind, online or printed. So I passed through the customs, I went to the house of an Islamic archbishop. There's a New Testament. After a few months of reading the New Testament, my family discovered the New Testament, and that was emergency in the house. So my brothers dragged me to attend outside the house. I was locked up there for 1 week until my dad came back. My dad is married to four wives and in four different cities. So he came to me with the New Testament in one hand and AK-47 in the other hand. And he put that to my head and he told me, do you think you can shame me in front of my people? You can't. If you don't recant and burn this evil book that you brought with you from overseas, I will empty the 30 bullets into your head. He took the safety pin out. I know that sound. I was shaking like a chicken. I'm a baby in Christ. So I told him, I'll do whatever you want. I burned the New Testament. So he left. After 1 week, he came back and he told me the most painful words that I would ever hear in my life. He said, you're not my son. You're a shame upon me and upon my tribe till the day of judgment. My tribe have been the kamikazes of Islam since the beginning of Islam. If you remember 9/11, 15 out of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. Five of them from my own tribe. So I went out traumatized. After 1 week, I went back to the college, and in Saudi Arabia, colleges are free. And if you study there, they give you even money as well. Wealthy country, right? I know. That's why Trump came. After a few months of recovering, I was wondering, why would my dad be so mad at me just because I'm reading the New Testament? There must be something in there, right? So the first thing that I did is I went online and I passed through the blockade the government put there through a VPN program, virtual private network, and I started to read the Bible again. And in there I found in Matthew where Jesus told Matthew that your enemy will become from your household, your own household. So I was scratching my head. I'm like, did that happen to Matthew? So I ran to Pastor Google and asked, Pastor Google, did that happen to Matthew? Well, of course not. That happened to me. Remember when Jesus said, do not think that I came to set peace on earth, but I came to set a sword. I have come to set son against his father. That was me. I was rejoicing that God of the universe put that verse for a person like me. Meaning, the gospel is not something that I read and sleep and forget about. This is something to live by. So I started to share the gospel online. And through the VPN, the government started to block the website that I opened to share the gospel to the Muslims. Until one day, one Muslim challenged me. He said, oh, no infidel can go to Mecca and stand before the Kaaba, God's house or Allah's house, and still live. And I'm like, well, the one in me is greater than the one in the world. My God is a sovereign God. This is just a black stone. So I went there and I prayed for 3 million people who came from across the world in a pilgrimage in Mecca. And I put that on the video. I sent it to my Muslim friend. I told him, chapter 105 from the Quran is not valid, and I prove it for you. But that itself triggered the religious police in Saudi. So they came, arrested me. They were not nice at all. They tried to beat each and every sin inch in my body. I was bruised everywhere. They knocked 12 teeth. When I smile now and you see white, shiny teeth, they're not my teeth. They're all fake. But praise God, instead of my yellow teeth, there's white teeth now, right? God is good. They sent me to a brainwashing center. And after 4 months, they gave me an exam, which I passed because I know Islam very well. They let me out. God have delivered me, and I started to work after that. I graduated from College of Medicine, a medical doctor. And I started to drive 13 hours each way to go to a church in Dubai, next door country. Because the churches in my country, they're underground, and one in American embassy, the other one is in a British embassy. And whenever I come, they ask me one question. They didn't ask, do you want to know Jesus? Or have you ever, you know, wondered what the word of God is? Nope. They ask, where are you from? If you say you're from the US or Pakistan or any other country, they welcome you. But if you say, I'm a local, you see the door shut to your face. That happened to me. And that's why I started to drive to the next door country to attend church every weekend. 13 hours of a long drive. But that wasn't enough for the government there to even arrest me for going to a church. And after 2 days, they sent me out, and I signed that I will no longer attend any meeting. And my way back to Saudi, they planted a truck filled with acid to make me as an example for other people not to follow Jesus. They wanted to put me in the news that this guy was driving 13 hours each way to attend church. And if you've forsaken Islam, this is what will happen to you. You will die. Well, they forgot one thing. That I am under God's witness protection program. I witness and God protect me. And that's why I could stand in front of you. I wish the projector could work here to show you the picture of my car. No one could live. Except if God is with you. If God is with me, who is against me? So after 2 weeks in the ICU, not even one broken bone, I went back to my hospital and my supervisor was asking me, where have you been for a few weeks? We did not see you. So many patients need reports and stuff. I told him I was in a car accident. He asked me, show me the picture of your car. I showed him and he looked at me. He looked at the picture of my car. And this is what he told me. God have given you a new life. You are born again. This is a Muslim guy. He never read the Bible. So when I heard that from him, I'm like, oh, okay. Here's someone who is saying stuff from the Bible. I better let him hear the word of God, which I did to my own boss. Yes, as you expected, I was fired from my job. And also, my license is not there anymore. Just because I told my boss about Jesus. But that didn't stop me from my real job. Because being a doctor, collecting money is just a garbage. But saving souls for the kingdom of God is worth it. So I started to share the gospel online. And few people from ISIS picked up on me. They marked my car with the letter N. It means follower of Jesus, the Nazarene. And they gave me a letter of death. Recant, or you will die. I looked at the letter and I asked myself, should I run? Should they stay? And then I closed my eyes and I prayed, Lord, I want to be with you. I don't want to be in this life. I want to see my Savior. I know it is sweet to be with you. And it's always sweet to graduate. But if this is your will, let it be done, Lord. If not, I will be a witness. While I was driving, ISIS people opened fire at my car. Bullets hit my car everywhere. One of the bullets came through the window and went into my seat. Seems God's not done with me yet. That's why I still talk to you. I want to tell you today, because I'm short of time, why I did not give up. Well, my dad put AK-47 into my head from sharing the gospel. Why I did not give up when I went to solitary confinement in a pitch black cell alone for 3 months. Why I did not give up when I went to the brainwashing center? Why I did not give up when I lost my job and my future as doctor. Well, if you have a Bible, open to 2 Corinthians 4. And if you're reading not in NLT, I'm sorry. It will be a little bit different. But here's my answer from God's word. Therefore, since God in his mercy have given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They do not understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen on the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but never driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So, we live in the face of death. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith as Solomon had when he said, "I believe in God, so I spoke." But we know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will raise us with Jesus and present us to himself all together with you. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our current troubles are small and will last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we can see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. That was 2 Corinthians 4 NLT. Sorry for ESV people. And somebody asked me, how do you share the gospel with the Muslims? Pastor, do I have time? Okay, good. When you reach anyone, we have example in the Bible. Our example is Jesus. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom is near. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus was speaking about the kingdom. When we speak to people, we tell them about the kingdom and about the king. The king's name is Jesus, right? If there is a kingdom, there are citizens of the kingdom. And there are instructions that's clear about the kingdom. Everyone in his conscience, they know that they have sinned. And we need to make that clear to them. And the only way for reconciliation is repentance. Muslims also have that concept. But they think that they're going to heaven as well through the blood of someone. Now, you and me are going to heaven through the blood of Jesus. Unfortunately, Muslims believe that they are going to heaven through my blood and yours. Have you ever wondered why 9/11 happened? Why 9/11? Why not 8/11? Why Osama bin Laden, who is Saudi Arabian, picked up that date? Well, let me tell you today. If you ever come across the Quran in chapter 9, verse 111, 9:11, 1 o'clock Greenwich time, it goes by this: for God hath purchased from the believers their lives and their property in exchange of paradise. There's a deal going on. They fight in the case of Allah, so they kill and are killed. This is a true promise binding on him in the Gospel and the Torah and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? So rejoice in your transactions that you have contracted, and in there is the great atonement. Do you see? That's the only guaranteed way in Islam. That's the cross to Muslims. To kill somebody, to go to heaven. However, if you come to your Muslim friend and tell him chapter 9, verse 111 is no longer needed because Jesus died for you. My Muslim friend, have you ever wondered why Christmas is there? Well, because this newborn king have died for everyone, including you. And here is the good news. You don't need to kill anyone. It's done. The only thing that you need is to repent and accept this free gift of God. And this is how you share the gospel to Muslim and to anyone. And this is my experience. However, the gospel tells us clearly that no matter how you tell people about this great news, sometimes people don't get it at all. The reason why is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. So this is my little experience about that. However, we have a website called makeitochrist.org. My cards is down there on the table. You're welcome to visit our website and have more resources on how we share the gospel to Muslims and about our ministry as well. I'm on time. Thank you.